Alleluia, Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. Everyone who listens to these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on rock. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and buffeted the house, but it did not collapse because it had been set solidly on rock. And everyone who listens to these words of mine but doesn't act on them will be like a fool who built his house on sand. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and buffeted the house, and it collapsed and was completely ruined." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Throughout Advent, we always focus on that double dynamism, the double movement, the Lord's coming toward us in his incarnation, his life, his suffering, his death, his resurrection, in the present, through his word, through the sacraments, through prayer, through others, and at the end of time, the end of our life, or the end of the world, whichever comes first. That's the Lord's movement, and our movement is to go out to meet him. It's not to passively wait. It's with longing on the inside and action within us. We go out because we want to shorten that distance, because it's he whom we seek. And every day during Advent, we learn something about God's coming toward us, who he is, what he wishes to do, and our dispositions in going out to embrace him in what he wishes to do. Today, it's fundamentally about the Lord's coming with strength and how we are supposed to base our entire life on that power. The Lord is an eternal rock, Isaiah tells us today. He's like a strong city. He sets up walls and ramparts to protect us. The Lord is strong. Isaiah goes on to say afterward. Sorry, the responsorial psalm goes on to say afterward that the Lord is God. He has given us light. That the Lord's not just strong, but he's the creator of all strength. He is light from light, but he doesn't keep that light to himself. He's let that light overflow. On Christmas night, we'll hear Isaiah tell us a little bit later in his book that the people who have walked in darkness have seen a great light. God allowed that light to appear, but he wants us to walk in that light as children of the light. He wants us to base our existence not on darkness, but on his holy luminescence. Jesus builds on that in the Gospel today. These words are his final words from the Sermon on the Mount, and they clearly pertain to all that he taught us in the sermon, but also to all God has ever taught us. It says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven." Again, Jesus came into this world to establish that kingdom. And even those who turn to him and say, "You, Jesus, are my Lord," they may not enter the kingdom of heaven. It's not enough just to call the Lord our Lord on our lips. He says, "Only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven." It's the one who lives in the light. It's the one who constructs on the foundation of God. Then Jesus described the choice we have. "Everyone who listens to these words of mine and acts on them will be truly wise. He'll be like the wise man who built his house on rock." Soon as all the terrible storms came, didn't collapse because it had been set solidly on rock. That's what the Lord wants us to do in Advent. He wants us to examine Him as the rock and then say, am I really going out to meet Him in each of these three ways to build my life on Him? Not just to sing a few Christmas hymns, but to erect my entire existence on Him. First, in the Incarnation, do we build our entire life on what Jesus Himself came down on earth and accomplished for us? Or do they remain just facts? Do we build our entire existence on what the Lord continually gives us in the present? Do we really build our life on His Word? Do we know it? Do we read it? Do we study it? Do we build our life on the root and the center, the source and the summit of the Christian life, which is Jesus Christ Himself in the Holy Eucharist? Or is this just frosting on our life rather than the real core? And then Jesus' words about His return, have we banked on them as the greatest guarantee ever that the Lord can't deceive us? And when He tells us, as we heard just on Sunday to kick off our whole Advent, that we're supposed to be vigilant and alert because He's coming at any moment, not to fall asleep, not to become drowsy. Do we really act on that? Or do we continue to sleepwalk through life, going through the motion, living the same way we did yesterday, at times awakening to the Lord's presence, but for the most part, somnambulating? This is the big choice. The Lord gives us Advent each time to sound an alarm clock for us so that we can really say, am I going out and in each of these three ways, in history, mystery, and majesty, constructing my entire existence on the Lord, what the Lord has said, what the Lord has given? There are the fools. Unfortunately, sometimes many of us Catholics are big-time fools. These are the ones who hear the Word of God, but don't act on it. And Jesus says, they're like the fools who build their house on sand. And when the storms come, that house collapses. It's completely ruined. The words never really penetrate to the heart, and from the heart they never come out to the knees and to the hands and to the feet. Many of us Catholics are fools like that because we base our life on other things. We base our life on what everybody else is doing, on what the polls say, on those who criticize us might want us to do. In the Sermon on the Mount, just that section is very helpful for us to see, on what foundation am I really building? Sermon on the Mount, you remember, begins with the Beatitudes. The world says you got to build on riches. Jesus says you build on spiritual poverty. Which have we chosen? The world says, blessed are the strong. Jesus says, blessed are the meek, the peacemakers. Which have we chosen? The world says, blessed are the sexual animals. Blessed are you when you're having every one of your fantasies fulfilled. Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart. Which is it for us? The world says, blessed are you when everybody likes you, when nobody would ever criticize you for your elected Miss Congeniality or most popular. Jesus says, blessed are you when people hate your guts, when they speak poorly about you behind your back, where they engage in detraction and calumny. Which do we choose? The world says, blessed are you when you have no hunger, where all your needs are met. Jesus is saying, blessed are you who hunger and thirst for holiness, who are starving to death, who are parched for what God wants to give. And that's just the beginning. The world says, finish off your enemies. Get them before they get you. Jesus says, turn the other cheek. Pray for your persecutors. Love even your enemies. The world says, eliminate all suffering. there's no meaning to it. Jesus says, pick up your cross every day and follow me. World says, make sure you have a really good retirement account, because nobody else is going to take care of you. Not even God, you fool. And Jesus says, totally the opposite. That we can't serve both God and money. But that we need to build our entire existence on Him and give what we have away to the poor, so that we might have treasure in heaven, so that we can then come and follow Him. Have we really built our life on the Lord? Or have we built our life on all these other things of worldly wisdom? It is the biggest choice that we have to face in life. It's the choice of literally building a house on a river or building a house on a solid rock foundation. Advent is the season in which we really say at the beginning of this new liturgical year, where have I really built my life? What to do? The response for our psalm strengthens us to have this type of trust, reminding us it's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in men. Better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. And we could say in kings, in presidents, in governors, in the richest people in the world. Better to trust in the Lord than trust in all of this earthly wisdom. Because as St. Paul will tell us, the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. Any true wisdom is based on the Lord. Today we celebrate someone who made this good and wise choice. St. John of Damascus lived as a monk in the 700s. It was a time of a terribly ugly heresy in the church, which was called iconoclasm. It meant the destruction of the icons or of the holy images. There was this false interpretation, still prevalent today among certain Protestants, who literalistically, instead of literally, interpret Scripture without any context, who said, because of the Second Commandment, you shall have no graven images before me, that we couldn't have any images of God. Even though, as St. John Damasus taught the whole church, Jesus Himself became the image of the living God. He Himself taught us the proper interpretation of the Second Commandment. What the Second Commandment forbids is making idols, golden calves to worship, etc. It doesn't mean that we can't have images through which we can adore the true God. And so there was a huge battle as people were invading churches and literally burning and destroying images, hacking them to pieces. St. John Damasus fought very hard, and eventually his teachings were enshrined in the Second Council of Nicaea in 787. He preached about the meaning of the Lord's incarnation and how we're all supposed to become living images of the Lord. That when people look at us, like they did at St. John Vianney, they're supposed to see God in a man, God in a woman, God in a kid. That's what it means to grow into the image and the likeness of God. And God wants to help us to do that. St. John based his entire existence on the Lord. He built his life on the rock of his word. And now he's a doctor of the church, teaching us all that same holy pattern. The great way that we build ourselves up every day is at Mass. It's at Mass every day where the Lord proclaims His word to us. And we've got a choice every day. The choice is not just to say, thanks be to God, praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, Lord. That's not what the Lord wants. And then go out and immediately forget what was said. Because if we did that, if we came to daily Mass every day, even if we listened to the word but we didn't go out and act on it, we would be building our whole life on the sand. Or we can come with Advent expectation, saying, I can't wait to hear what Isaiah tells me today. I'm dying to hear what that psalm is. What's Jesus going to tell me today? And how's that going to change my life in a little way or in a big way forever? And even, boy, I really am prepared to see what Father Nick or Father Landry says about that word. That's one way to come. That's to build our life on the rock of the word. But there's always the temptation, and listen, the devil's working very hard to get you to take this deal. This stuff isn't really important. You don't really have to pay attention to any of this stuff. It's enough that you just show up to Mass. You don't have to live this word. After all, nobody else is living the word either. Just read the daily newspapers. Ignore it. Doesn't matter. That's the first way we've got this choice. Second way is in the liturgy of the Eucharist. When Jesus gives Himself to us and He wants us to build our entire life on that communion, to unite everything we're doing to the celebration of the Eucharist, to look at our sufferings of the day, to look at our sacrifice, to look at our work, and unite that to Jesus' work on the altar, to put those gifts on the paten, and then to let everything flow from the Eucharist, to recognize that from here, where Jesus loved us to the extreme, He's come within us so that we can build ourselves on Him from the inside out. And so that when we encounter one of those contradictions later on in this day, somebody who needs forgiveness, we recognize He's forgiven us first, and so we're rich in forgiveness to forgive that person. Somebody who treats us in a way similar to the way He was treated, we now learn how to turn that other cheek. Everything's supposed to come and go from this holy communion with the Lord, which He gives us every day. And then obviously there's the great commission He gives us at the end. He tells us, go in peace, glorifying the Lord by your life. It's the great commission. It's the great way we preach the gospel, by radiating the Lord's glory, by becoming the icons of His coming. That the Lord has really come and He's changed lives. And if He's done this to me, He can do it to you. That's what we proclaim when we glorify the Lord. Through the intercession of St. John Damascene, may we receive the help that the Lord has given us to build our entire life on Him, to trust in Him enough to do so, and to go out and give Him glory, a glory that will last forever, like the glory that still radiates from the life of St. John of Damascus. Praise be Jesus Christ. Now and forever.